broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth. It's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my trusty co-host, Stephen Julian. I was trying to think of a good adjective for you.
It just took a little while. And you came up with trusty.
Trusty. Do you like that one?
I like that. I like that. That's better than other things you've called me.
Yeah, but that's usually off the air.
That's true.
Never on the air.
That's true.
We have a full house today. We've got three great companies represented, five people here in the studio all crammed in. From Ivy Springs Manor, we have Sarah Beal and Courtney Legg. From Eagle Carpet Care, we have Tony and Kathy LaRocco. And from Second Mile Marketing and Consulting, we have Pat McDaniel. And we're going to start with Ivy Springs Manor. Courtney and Sarah, welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. Tell us about your company and Ivy Springs Manor. What is Ivy Springs Manor?
Ivy Springs Manor is an assisted living home that is located right in Buford, right by the Mall of Georgia. We handle everything from independent living to end-of-life care. We do have a memory care unit there that we call the Chateau. I'm going to kick it over to Courtney to tell you a little bit more.
We opened up in July of last year. We've been running for now about 7 months. We're currently about 70% full, so we're doing excellent as far as our fill-up process. We have a excellent staff, including our director of excitement, who is here with me today.
Very exciting. I'm going to have everybody up dancing pretty soon, so get ready.
We also have a registered nurse on staff full time. Her name is Beverly Fricks. She's a Gwinnett County nurse who's been in the area for about 25 years, so we're very proud of that. Sarah?
Courtney and Sarah, obviously long-term care, assisted living, memory care, we're seeing a lot of facilities go up. So what would be one of the things that separate you guys, aside from having a director of excitement, which is fantastic, what other things would you guys say would set you guys apart?
I think it's as soon as you walk in the door, it's every staff member there is smiling, is happy to see you, is going to stop and say hello, whether it's the CNAs, someone for environmental services. Our physical plant manager is amazing with the residents. He could be over painting a trim or something, and then if somebody needs his help, he'll stop whatever he's doing and go over there. So it's really the staff that makes our community different, and it's just a loving place. The families of all of our residents are very active within the building and with the residents. So we have people that are coming in daily and weekly, and we're just, as cheesy as it sounds, we're one big happy family.
If a family is looking for an assisted living home, what are the types of questions they should be asking? What kind of things should they be looking for to find the best place for their family members?
Staffing's a big deal. We have above and beyond what the state regulations ask us to do for our staffing. In our Chateau, which is our secured unit, state recommends that you have 1 to 7, one caregiver per 7 residents. We're staffing way above that. We've got 11 people back there right now, and we've got 4 staff members. So they got a lot of one-on-one attention. Even on our assisted living side, we're way above staffing, probably because we are privately owned instead of corporately owned, and we are allowed to choose the needs, not based upon numbers in the for state, but the needs of our residents.
Focus a little bit on that, being privately owned rather than corporately owned. Kind of just the floor is yours. What are the differences in that, and why is that a benefit to the residents?
Well, it's a huge benefit if you work there. But for residents who move in, it's excellent because the private owners allow me as the executive director to make decisions based upon the needs of the residents. When you're corporately owned, they don't really look at what you're needing. They only look at numbers and bottom lines. We are privately owned by a group, Pinpoint Commercial, are our investors. Our owner is Jeremy Ragsdale, who his dad is partners with Truett Cathy for Chick-fil-A. And we are running our business just like his dad runs Chick-fil-A. We want to do it with integrity. with, you know, all the...
Well, and Jeremy, something really great about him as an owner, this is something I think is cool that you see with private ownership. When he comes into the building to tour, he will stop and talk to the residents. He'll sit, there's one of our residents there who they went to the same college. So they'll sit and chat about that. And he actually then a week later sent a thank you note to that resident just to say, hey, thanks for spending some time with me. I really enjoyed getting to know you. So you get more of that personal touch than just the big corporate seeing everybody as a number. And like Courtney said, that works well for the staff as well, too. We feel like we're valued a little bit more or a lot more as staff members. We, you know, when the owners and everything come in, they know all of our names, whether it's the CNAs to the executive director. So it's a lot more personable.
It's funny because Sarah and Courtney say it's like family over there, and they really are family because they finish each other's sentences and thoughts. It's amazing. I'm looking at some of the photos of the facility over there. It's gorgeous. Talk about the rooms. Talk about the facilities.
We are very much resort-style community. When you go into other assisted livings, it's more of a facility, nursing home type. We pride ourselves on not looking medical. It's very resort style. We have a baby grand piano in the foyer. We've got a giant chandelier. We've got our hallways named for each specific area. Our suites are all private suites with their own bathrooms with granite countertops. It's very luxurious. A lot of times people come in and say, oh my gosh, this is so fancy. You know, I couldn't possibly afford it, but we are very affordable. We also have all-inclusive rates as well.
Talk about what people's premonitions of what they might normally expect and what you really have, because you're not a nursing home per se. You are a assisted living. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But what's your director? Your name again, Sarah?
Director of excitement.
Exactly. So I mean, it's fun. It's uplifting because some places might be drab and dreary. And I mean, you come in, and not only the your attitudes. I mean, you're wearing purple and yellow today. I mean, the colors, everything is bright. It's a place that, I mean, I want to move in right now.
We have a lot of fun, and we have a 14-passenger van that I drive very carefully, but I take the residents out on outings and everything, and on the van it says, a new beginning awaits. And that really, that's our building. I mean, it's life doesn't have to be over because you are moving in to some sort of community. That starts with everything, too. I'd rather use the word community than facility. Facility sounds a lot more medical, nursing home. But I think people have perceptions of a nursing home, the tile floor, the hospital curtains and all that. And it is very different. I mean, we're carpeted throughout, just little things like that. So when families come in and they're looking for their family member, they're always, oh, I don't think they're going to be okay with this. And it's like, bring them pictures. Just even, you know, let them see, because they're what they originally think is going to be completely different. So it is nice to see people like, oh, okay. And the residents, well, residents who say, this is just like a hotel. No, can I get room service?
It actually looks nicer than a hotel in these photos. That's what I'm saying.
All right. So, Sarah, I'm going to ask you to go a little bit more in depth. So this is as hard-hitting as I get.
Ooh.
Unpack the phrase director of excitement. Unpack your job. Give me some specifics of how the residents get excited because you're there and because of what you do.
Well, I do have to tell you, though, the title director of excitement was coined by myself on Atlanta Business Radio when I did the Ugerio radio show. I said to them, I said, well, I'm the activities director. I prefer to be the director of excitement. So then when I first started, Courtney said to me, she's like, what do you want your title to be? Kidding. I said, director of excitement. She says, okay. And now that's all the other buildings within the company, the activities director is director of excitement. So yes, I do keep the residents excited, happy to be alive. I'm kind of the residents' best friend. I'm there if, you know, when they want to have fun and they need some distraction. I'm there if they want to just sit and talk for a little bit. I get the residents coming to me a lot with, you know, whether if they're unhappy about the food or if they've, you know, got questions about stuff, things that they would be not really scared to go to other staff members. But I think I'm just kind of that trusted person with the residents. But I am responsible for their day-to-day everything they do between meals, pretty much, and keeping them going and happy.
So it was another Business Radio X show that helped get your new title, Director of Excitement.
Yes, yes.
Courtney's sitting over there, Executive Director, blah, blah, blah.
We need to think of something
Hey, we're going to come up with something before you leave the studio today, and you're going to change your title as well.
Chief Poobah of all things wonderful.
They do call me the queen.
The queen of all things. I think wonderful queen or queen of wonderfulness. I don't know. That's kind of going.
Thanks. I like where you're going.
We can't be outdone by another show.
That's right.
Our show is the best show,
that's
by
right.
the way.
So,
talk about what you enjoy most about what you do, because you have to love people, obviously. You've got to want to be around people. You've got to want to help people. What do you enjoy most about the jobs you do?
As far as my job being executive director, it's wonderful because I'm actually in charge of this building. The whole atmosphere in the building depends on what we do, and it's just making a difference in seniors' lives and providing that excellent customer service day to day that they deserve. Yesterday, Sarah kind of got a little upset with me because one of our residents said, "I'd like a glass of wine." So I went into my office and I poured her a glass of wine, and it was 2:30 in the afternoon, but she wanted a glass of wine, and that's my job. If they want it, I make it happen.
I wasn't upset. I was jealous.
I was at it. But, it's just wonderful. And that being privately owned, I'm allotted, given that autonomy to do what I need to do to make everybody happy. And that's just the greatest gift you could possibly have.
I just love being around the residents. I've always said I don't like people my own age. I like older people. It works. I fell into this job by accident, and it was like one day I was like, wow, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is great. So I love the residents. I have ones that will email me or call me, and just to say, hey. And so it's great relationships. I love the friendships that I have.
One other question, and Courtney, this might be directed more toward you as Queen Poobah of all things wonderful. Speak a little bit about the memory care center. I know that is a growing need that is out there, and I know you tout it on your literature. You also have it right on your business card. Speak a little bit about the memory care. What does that entail? What do you guys have? And again, what might set you apart from some of the other centers? Because I know some don't have anything. So
right. We have a whole separate section. We call it the Chateau. And it is 23 units back there. We also have a Chateau coordinator. And it is one-on-one care, pretty much. I mean, it's staffed 1 to 5, but we were way overstaffed as well. They have their own activities geared toward dementia. They also have motion detectors in their room. Each night at 10 p.m., the motion detectors go off, and it stays all night long through 6 a.m. So if they happen to get up to prevent falls, it does alert the staff. We do have LPNs during the night for back there. And
we also, though, one of the things Courtney was saying, I got to jump in. She was saying there are activities that are geared more for dementia residents, but we include those residents with all of the other activities, too. So it's not that they're just back here in this, one little section, and that's what they see every day is just the same hallway and everything. So the residents will come out a lot, and it's great to see the assisted living residents with the memory care residents, because they're they'll want to talk to them and kind of help them out with everything. When they come to bingo, they'll kind of pair up so they can help each other. So that's really neat. All of our entertainment, our outings, even everything like that, I think that kind of sets us apart, because a lot of buildings that have the memory care, the residents just stay in that memory care, and that's kind of, they see those same four walls nonstop. So the fact that we really interact between the residents.
We're talking with Sarah and Courtney with Ivy Springs Manor. The population is getting older, obviously. There is a need for what you guys offer. For families that are interested in not only finding out more, but want to maybe check family members in, is there a wait? Is there a waiting list, or are there spots available now?
We do. We have spots available now. We have a director of first impressions who's always available. When you come into our building, you can get a tour at any time. Our website is online, www.ivyspringsmanor.com, and we're always available. My cell phone number is listed on that website, and I take calls. In fact, 2 days ago, took a call at 11:30 at night, and now her mom is now living with us. So I'm always available for anybody that needs to talk.
why are you the only one there with a bland title? What's up with that?
We did have another suggestion from the Peanut Gallery that she should be called the Queen of Getting It Done.
Oh, so,
there you go.
Oh, I like that.
Where are you guys located? Because I know location is a big decision factor when you're making that decision.
Yeah, we're right across from Mall of Georgia on 20. As you're going down, you'll see Krispy Kreme on your left-hand side. We're right there on Gravel Springs on the right, up on the hill. It's a beautiful lodge-like setting.
All right, and then the website, once again, is ivyspringsmanor.com, so they can see photos. All the information will be right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, Courtney Legg and Sarah Beal with Ivy Springs Manor. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
So now, Sarah, you've been on the radio like, what, 8 times?
Yeah, I'm ready for you guys to just go and build my dressing room. I don't know why it's not here.
We'll talk after the show.
Thank you.
Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Eagle Carpet Care is Tony and Kathy LaRocco. They are the founders and the owners of the company. You two are married. I expect you two to finish each other's sentences, much like our first guest. Talk about Eagle Carpet Care, first of all. Just give us a brief overview of the business.
Okay. A brief overview of the business would be we started in 1985, just my husband and I, and we primarily cleaned commercial carpeting in apartment complexes. Over the years, we have added more and more services, such as air duct cleaning and tile and grout cleaning. Any hard surface cleaning we do. We do commercial work as well as residential. The really big thing that we've added here recently, because our sons are in the business as well, we have two sons that have joined us, and they have taken it to the next level as far as the restoration end of our company. We do disaster restoration, including water damage, mold remediation, crime scene cleanup, fire and smoke cleanup. And our youngest son is the president of that division. Patrick is very, very passionate about what he does. Our oldest son has kind of got daddy off of the truck so much and has been working in the office with him quite a bit. And he has taken over a lot of the office duties that I have done in the past. So we have really, really diversified in the last almost 30 years.
Tony, talk about working with the family, having sons involved and so forth. What is that like, having your family around you? And then going home at night and family's around you still there as well. Do you talk work when you're home? I mean, what's that like?
Yeah, when they were home, it was all about, coming home, having to work, doing everything together. We get called out to water damages and different things like that at night, and usually Joe would come out with me, and we would knock out a water damage and set up everything, come home, have a piece of pizza or something, and go to bed, wake up and start all over the next morning.
What made you decide to get into the carpet cleaning business?
Well, we got into the carpet cleaning business, I guess, in 1985. My husband and I met in 1983. He worked for a large company in Florida, and I was living at home with my parents. My parents called to get their carpet cleaning done, and I happened to be home when he came to clean the carpet. And my mom thought he was pretty cute, but she's like, she did a hand gesture and says, "But he's kind of short." I was okay with that. To make a long story short, we went on a date that very night, and the rest is pretty much history.
I was waiting for Tony to finish that sentence when she started making motions of his height. I was ready for him to go, wait, let me finish the story.
I'm 6'7".
on the radio, Tony, you could be anybody you want. Right. That's the great
thing. There you go.
That's her side of the story. Let's hear your side of the story. You're coming in to clean the carpets, and you see this young, obviously attractive young lady. Let me hear your side of the story here.
Well, actually, I saw her in her car, actually bending into her car. So actually, I saw the rear end of her first, not actually her.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell, Stephen, they're a married couple?
I can. Now, I would like to just give a little backdrop. He actually looked at Kathy. Can I tell that part of the story? They're happily married. That's fantastic.
And so you're in there, and you start cleaning the carpets.
Right.
And at some point, you decided, I'm going to try to ask this young lady out.
Well, finally, she came in. Because she was out, I guess, cleaning the car. And she finally came into the house, and I actually asked her a couple questions. And I actually acted like I didn't know anything about the area. I lived there for my whole
life.
But I asked her where
he
she
fibbed.
Would go for a date. And then she tells me something up the street. And I'm going, what the heck is she talking about? And so we met there. And it wasn't like we met there, like we went together on the date. She met me with her friend, and I was with one of my friends, and we just had 2 hours of watching some jazz music, and watching and listening to some jazz music. And then we separated, and then I went out and went to Cowboys, and I don't know where you all went.
Yeah, we went out too.
So,
but it was very difficult.
It was a casual thing.
Yeah, it was difficult because he had to ask me out right in front of my mother because my mother was right there. So it was kind of...
I definitely want to ask if he got paid for the job first, you know, made sure that got taken care of. Anyway, so...
I feel like we've morphed into a relationship show.
Yes.
So let's try to... We'll try to go back to a business show so we don't embarrass either of you anymore.
Thank you.
Go for it, Dr. Mike.
So you started the business how many years ago, Tony?
I started cleaning carpets, I think, in 82.
Okay, and Kathy, were you involved from the very beginning?
Well, he worked for another company, but when we started our own company, it started in 1985. And actually, my parents were always entrepreneurs, so my dad actually bought us our first carpet cleaning truck, and that's how we started in the business in 1985.
And over the years, you've expanded the services. You now do a lot of restorations and things like that. So the business continues to grow. You now have... Your sons are involved. You have other employees that we've met before. Where do you see the business going 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? What are your goals? Other than probably you retiring in Aruba somewhere, letting the family run the business, what are your goals with the business?
Well, I don't really think much about retirement because I really do enjoy what we do. I do take a couple days off or half days off a week to watch one of my grandchildren. Both of our sons have boys, so that's just been a whole new different experience. I feel like that the business is going to go just can continue to progress because we brought in that next generation. And they have much different ideas and ways of doing things. And something that we had never done in the past was to have a sales and marketing person. And we have come across the best sales and marketing person, Kate Skirmerhorn, that there is, I believe, in the United States of America, if not the world. she has been awesome. And it's like, you know, all of our employees are very, very important to us. And it's really like we're family. We have a great time working together, and I only see us, you know, progressing more and more into each of the areas that we provide service to.
Tony, in your industry of carpet care and restoration, one of the things, and you can speak to it a little bit more, but it seems to me I always hear different names coming up every couple of years. Oh, here's the next new big company that's going to, you know, do these wonderful things. Obviously, it is very obvious that your family and the way you run your company like a family has helped you guys do so well. But I also would imagine there's something to say about quality of the work that you've done, the fact that you guys have, you know, what has helped you guys last? What has helped you guys continue to build your name? And what sets you apart from your competition?
Well, I was taught, you know, pretty well from the company that I worked with before. They were a very respected company in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I took that and took it to another level because of the I pay attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And even doing apartments, that most people just fly through. You know, some people take 15, 20 minutes on an apartment. I take 30 to 45 minutes on an apartment, and I pay attention to what I'm doing. And I make sure it's dry and different things like that. And paying attention to that detail rubbed off on to my kids. And they do that plus. And we all learned how to do everything, because it went from carpet cleaning to restoration to learning how to do patches. And this was all self-taught. And I would read, practice, and then apply it to what I was doing. And the next thing you know, we're pretty good at what we're doing, you know. And my kids just went to a lot of them went to classes, and they're all certified in all these different areas, and very good at what they do.
So there's a big difference between companies that don't do a good job and companies that do the best and companies that pay attention to detail. There's a big difference in this. It's not just someone showing up. And I mean, there's a lot to be said. And so let me ask this question then for either of you. If whether I'm a homeowner or I'm a business owner, I'm looking to get my carpets clean, I'm looking to get some work done, what should I be asking? What should I be looking for? What should I be making sure that I check off my list so that I know I've got the right person, other than just going ahead and calling Eagle Carpet Care? Because right. I know that's what we should do.
Right.
But what should I be asking? What should I be looking for?
Well, if you're going to I always tell customers that seem like that they're calling around to ask certain questions, and that would be, first of all, our cleaning method is we use hot water extraction, which is the number one method of cleaning that is suggested by Shaw Industries and other big carpet companies. That is very important. So we make sure that we let the customers know what type of cleaning we do. And if you're going to call around, ask, make sure that they have that truck-mounted steam cleaning, because that's the most powerful extraction system. Another really big thing is to make sure that they're not subcontracting the work out. Because if they subcontract the work out, they can't control what type of equipment nor what type of chemicals they use, whereas all of our people that clean for us are employees. So they're trained by either my husband or my sons, or sometimes they'll get trained by all three of them, because they each have their area of expertise. So we know, and our son Joseph maintains all the equipment, so we know that the trucks are maintained. We know the chemicals that we use are green, because we buy all the same things. And that is a really, really big factor. And our goal is to go into a home or a business and get a repeat customer, not get, you know, go into a home for, you know, this is an exaggeration, but $20 to clean your whole home and do a terrible job and you never call us back again. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for customers, and we get a lot of referrals. A lot of our work comes from referrals, and I think that's the best type of work there is, because they're already hearing positive stuff about us.
I was going to ask you, you know, how do you find your new business? And you say referrals. And what do these referrals say to you? If I were to go say, tell me about the LaRoccos, tell me about Eagle Carpet Care, what kind of things would they tell me?
Usually when I have someone call, it says that they were referred by a friend or a real estate agent or anybody else that we do a lot of business with. They said that we did a great job. And a lot of people are scared to let companies into their home to do any type of services, not only carpet cleaning, you know, any type of home service. And if they are being referred, that's just like, they're automatically going to use us because they trust their friend or their neighbor or their relative. And they're just going to tell them that we do a great job. And hopefully, you know, they'll hire us, and we'll do the same thing for them. And it keeps going on and on.
We're talking with Tony and Kathy LaRocco with Eagle Carpet Care. It's also Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration. I want to ask you about the restoration part of things. If there's, like, say, fire damage, water mm-hmm. damage, do you come in and do you try to save the carpet that's there, or do you rip it out and replace it with new carpeting, or can you go either way?
It can go either way. It depends on what it is. If it's something such as a sewer damage, which we call Category 3 water, then everything has to be removed for sanitary purposes. If it's clean water, 9 times out of 10, we can save the carpeting. And not only do we dry out the carpeting and put new padding in, but we're drying out the structure as well. because walls get wet, ceilings get wet, and sometimes we have to cut out walls and ceilings. And we also, once that's done, we'll also do the reconstruction part of it as well.
So you actually, are you selling carpet too, or do they have to go someplace else and find that? How does that work?
As far as that,
are you in the carpet selling business as well?
No, we work with several companies that sell carpet, and that works out really, really well. But we don't supply the carpet ourselves.
But I can just go through one company, you guys, mm-hmm. and you can bring in the new carpet. I don't have to worry
right.
about it, and
mm-hmm.
just try to match what you had or something
exactly.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. For those companies out there that want to find out more, or those homeowners that want to find out more and look into your services, where should they go?
Well, we've got a lot of information on our website, which is www.eagle-carpetcare.com. We've got a wonderful Facebook page. Thank you.
Ten years ago, did you ever think you'd be on internet radio? See how technology's
no.
changing?
Right, right. That's
why you have Kate.
Exactly. Because between Kate and my son Joseph, they take care of Facebook, and they do an excellent job of it. So you can go on Facebook and see lots of videos. You'll be able to see this interview, I'm sure.
I would hope so. There you go.
Or hear it, rather. So there's a lot of information on that as far in our website, a lot of before and after pictures and explanations of how we really do things.
I would go on the website just to hear the first part of this interview about how they met. That was good.
No way we can edit that out or anything.
Well, you know what? You'll get this file if you want to. No, Kate's over there saying no, it's staying in. In fact, it may be highlighted. Find out how
nice.
The Morocco's met.
Nice.
What's the best phone number that people, if they want to reach out directly via phone, what's the best way to reach out?
Our main phone number is 678-714-0445, and that's 24/7. Once our office is closed, one of us has that phone for emergencies.
And I was thinking, because one of the things I was thinking is restoration, that's when you need a phone number. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Seemed like really good. Kate told us the truth. She said they're like really great, nice people. And she told us the truth. So it's great great to meet both of you, Kathy and Tony LaRocca with Eagle Carpet Care. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Second Mile Marketing is Pat McDaniel. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being here.
You know something about websites and so forth. Tell us about your company and what you do.
Okay, so what I do is I work, we specialize with working with contractors. They can be construction, home improvements, remodeling, those kind of guys. Also, home service contractors, so plumbers, HVAC, those kind of fellows. And what we do is we try to help them get their website working with the internet. We do three things, basically. Number one is we try to help them attract really high-quality traffic to their website so that they can get the right people to come, which a lot of people do that. There's ways to do that effectively. The second thing, which is probably our secret sauce, is that we work to persuade those people who land on the website to get a higher percentage of those people to actually call or to buy something or whatever you want them to do, whatever the company needs them to do at the time. And then the third thing we do is that we're constantly adjusting the website and the message on the website to make it more profitable for the company.
Are there some hard and fast rules as far as some changes that you would make if you saw a typical website? No, you need to do this. Is there some tips you can give? I don't want you to give away all the secrets, but there's things you can do when you look at a website and you can say, no, that's not going to work, but this will work, and you can make those kinds of changes?
Yeah, I mean, there are best practices, but every company and every industry is just a little bit different, because ultimately what you're trying to do as a company is to connect with the people who are looking for you. And to do that, you've got to understand what their searcher intent is, what's in their mind, and speak to that in specific. So you can't just sort of take a template and say, this will always work, because it doesn't. So what we try to do is we try to look at different aspects of a website. Okay, so number one is we look at what you as a company offer, because that's a big important item is, you know, how you present yourself, how you present what you offer, because people are searching for your services. So, you know, you can't just say the same thing everybody else says. And then we also look at what we call website flow, which is, if you think about website visitors, you try to take them from point A to point B to point C all the way up to point Z, which is to do something. Call me, fill out this form, buy this product. And a lot of business websites just don't do a very good job. They kind of They do the kind of the shotgun approach of everything at the same time and hoping that something sticks. And that's the absolute worst thing you can do. You kind of have to be like a really effective salesperson who meets the person at the door and walks them through and kind of answers questions and tries to help them solve their problem. And before you know it, they're going out that back door with, you know, a product in hand or a contract for a service. And then we also do look at some technical aspects like load time, because if your website's really slow, it's going to kill your what we call conversion rate.
I hate that. one thing I've always heard about is conversion rate optimization. You hear that a lot when you talk to these website folks like yourself. For the dum-dums like me, explain that a little bit to our listeners and to me.
I will talk real slow
Mike. Wait. Don't push it, Patrick. I'll turn your mic down. No, go ahead.
Well, you know, conversion rate optimization is a nice fancy term. It sounds good and all that stuff. I almost prefer to use the term persuasion optimization. You're trying to up the rate of persuasion on your website. And it's not something that's actually very common at all. In fact, we sort of backed into it. We began to do Google AdWords pay-per-click advertising for a number of our clients. And so we would do all this great work to get the AdWords, to get them the best traffic, lowest possible cost, and all of that. But if you send them to a website that doesn't perform well, that's boring or doesn't make its case very well, just like a boring salesperson, it all goes into what we call the black hole. And I've actually got a remodeling contractor in Kansas City that I've been talking to. We're helping him right now. And I just want to do the AdWords. Okay, fine. But, you know, we've sent him a lot of really, really good traffic. I'll show him exactly what these people are searching for your services, Steve. But they're not calling him because they get to his website. And guess what he says? Same thing everybody else says. It's just blah, 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 call now. And sometimes he didn't even say call now. And so conversion rate optimization is really just the process of trying to help people to connect the people who are searching for what you offer with what you offer. And we do employ a good bit of psychology and persuasion principles because really at the end of the day, it comes down to understanding your searchers and what they want.
You've already kind of mentioned some of the mistakes that some companies make. It's just, you know, blah, blah, blah types of things. What are one or two things that a business can do right away to their website to make it, as you say, become more persuasive?
Well, simplify things. You know, you can't be all things to all people. You can't offer every service at the exact same time. You really do need to sort of segment your website and try to send the right people to the right places. Eagle Carpet Care would send restoration people to the restoration site and carpet cleaning to the carpet cleaning site, those kinds of things. And again, I'm going to use an example that I think is fascinating to me to go back to the principles of psychology, okay? A really smart researcher at Columbia University named Sheena Iyengar did this study where she went to a very upscale grocery store. And over succeeding weekends, she set up a display of jams. And the one display had 6 jams to choose from. And then the next weekend, she had a display that had 24 jams to choose from. Now, out of those two displays, which do you think got a lot more traffic and attention?
The 6.
The one with the 6.
Well, actually, the one with 24 got a lot more attention. People were all like, oh, look at all these choices. And wow, this is... But what turns out that only 3% of the people who went to the mini-choice display actually bought anything, but the people who went to the 6-jam display, 30% of them bought something. There's sort of that paralysis of choice. And so what you do is you try to set up a website so that it makes a particular point or a particular offer and or give them maybe two or three choices tops and really try to get them to make some decisions rather than hoping they'll make a decision by giving them everything.
Pat, I think sometimes business owners, when they think about their websites and when they think about their web traffic and the type of business they're trying to bring in, especially contractors like this, I think sometimes very quickly it can get overwhelming. Mike called himself a dum-dum, and I think a lot of people would kind of confess, man, I start swimming in it pretty quick. What should they be looking for? What are there any specific goals they should have? one of the things that very much intrigues me about kind of what you've said is you're talking bottom line. You're talking return on investment. You're talking, hey, let's turn this into actual dollars. So how would you talk a business owner through that to help them? Because I think all business owners will get on the same page very quickly. Yes, that's what I'm about. Don't talk to me about optimization. Talk to me about dollars. So what should they be asking? What should they be looking for? How can you help them swim those waters, as it were?
I really haven't run into a lot of contractors, really any business owners. I work with different businesses that really want to know or understand what their website does. What they need to understand, though, is it's not a brochure. It's really their online sales presence. And so you have to figure out ways to effectively figure out how to make your salesperson online more effective. And you can track and measure and adjust so that you can say, you know, today you spent $18.55, but you made $244 from your online salesperson. And what we do and what we suggest doing is basically setting up experiments where you're trying different things, and you'll find that, you know, one landing page will get a 5% conversion rate, another one will get 20%. Well, I'm going to stick with the salesperson who's doing a better job. I'm going to let the other guy go. And then I'll hire another one and start the process over again. So it really does come down to understanding that your website should be making you money and how much money. I hate to say this, but I see a lot of companies out there who sell to businesses, and it's all about sort of activity. You know, hey, we're going to get you all this traffic, and we're going to do all this. But at the end of the day, do you know how much money you're making? And they say, no, I have no idea. I just assume I am.
We're talking with Pat McDaniel with Second Mile Marketing. Pat, I will confess we've had other companies on here before that do websites. We will probably have more that come on in future that do websites. But you're the first person that's ever talked about the psychology of the consumer, the psychology of the person that's on the computer, which I find real interesting. Talk about starting Second Mile Marketing. You know, why did you get it started? And what is your background? To me, I feel like I'm talking with a college professor because I'm learning a lot about the psychology of the people that use the internet. But talk about your background and getting this company off the ground.
Well, fair enough. I actually have a rather bizarre background. I've had several careers. I was a CPA for a while. But I was going to end up getting committed into an asylum if I continue to do that. And then I actually pastored a number of churches for a number of years in various states, I guess until the police caught up with me. No, seriously.
I thought that's what you were going to say, and then I was going to go into an insane asylum if I didn't do something else.
Well, it was one of those situations where I actually felt like I needed to get out because it was getting really difficult for some of the situations we're in. But I kind of moved into the marketing direction because I personally found it fascinating. I do like understanding human behavior. I've got kids, and I can tell you I don't understand human behavior as much as I think I do. But it's been one of those things where it's, you know, people look at websites and they think it's all the technical stuff, you know, and all this platform, this and that. And, well, we use WordPress. Well, good for you. But, you know, if you have the best platform in the world, but you don't understand your customers and you don't understand what's going on in their mind, it's kind of like this. If you've ever gone to a doctor and you've had a problem, let's say your shoulder hurts, and you go to the doctor and he's just looking at you and he's giving you all the same old stuff. But you go to this one doctor and he goes, now, when you lift up your right shoulder, does your left knee hurt? And you go, well, yeah. And does your left ear tingle at the same time? And you're going, yeah. And pretty soon you realize this guy knows exactly what I'm thinking and what I need. And so you trust them and you listen to them. Well, that's what we try to help our clients understand. How do we connect with the people searching for what we offer in such a way that it makes total sense? And they say, this is the company we want to work with.
Pat, forgive the corny cliche, but I'm going to let you practice what you preach a little bit. Sorry. One of the things you said at the very beginning of the interview, I want you to just kind of go over and focus on a little bit more. You practice what you preach because you have a very tight niche of the types of businesses that you help. You kind of said it at the beginning, but let me let you repeat it and then let me allow you to just kind of expand on it, because I think there are going to be a group of business owners that when they hear this, man, they're going, my left ear's tingling, my right knee is, this guy's talking exactly what I need. So specifically again, you know, what type of business owners are you looking for?
Well, we're looking typically for contractors. Home service contractors, again, the plumbing HVAC guys, also home improvement contractors. I personally like working with them. In fact, I made a decision about a year ago to move away from working with corporations. Just not as much fun dealing with the corporate speak and all that stuff. I find that most of the contractors out there, we kind of bill ourselves as a de facto marketing department. Hey, you know, you can hire us for a fraction of the cost of hiring somebody else, and we'll come in there and we'll do your online marketing for you. And we also offer a lot of hands-on personal interaction. We basically are kind of like on retainer to explain and help you figure out. I mean, I have my clients call me all the time saying, we're thinking about doing a billboard. What do you think? And I'd say, well, could work. You got to look at these five factors. And then they go, okay, great. So we do, and I do have a team of people who help me. But it really is a personal, you know, I like helping these people succeed.
And your bottom line is also to kind of be able to show them, and I notice on your business card you have 100% ROI. You know, you really want to show them a return on their investment.
Right. Actually, it's more like 200 to 300%, and it could be higher. Depends on their margins and so forth. But
I don't think you've had anyone complain about that. You said 100%. It's 185%.
But that is correct. I mean, at the end of the day, we want to feel like we've earned our money.
Second Mile Marketing and Consulting is the name of the company. Talk about the origins of the name, Second Mile.
Well, it is a biblical illustration from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about, you know, if they ask you to go a mile, you go a second mile. So second, our name is an abbreviation to ND, milemarketing.com. And so our goal is to go that extra mile, to do the extra things that we can to help our clients to succeed. Because that's really important. And in this day and age where, you know, you just do enough to get by, we find that most of our clients go the extra mile for their customers. So we do the same.
And for those companies that want to seek you out and find out more about your business and maybe use your services, what should they do?
They can go to the website, secondmilemarketing.com, 2ND, milemarketing.com. They can give me a call. We have a lot of free resources on our website. We have the website persuasion checklist. You can kind of go through and make sure your website's working right. I do a fair amount of giving free advice and consulting to businesses that may not be a good fit for what we do, but they just need help. So start at the website. That's a good place to go.
All right, Patrick, thank you so much. Good stuff.
You're welcome.
I really found it interesting, Stephen, when he talked about the jam analogy with the six jams and the 24, because I was having lunch yesterday at a restaurant with the big old menu with all the things, and it was overwhelming. So I went to the little menu that it had three or four. It's like, give me less choices. I don't want that many choices. So, you know, we learned about the human psychology today.
As long as something is fried on there, I'm okay.
There you go. And you're going to go to the Krispy Kreme, by the way. That's
absolutely
near Ivy Manor.
Yes.
Ivy Springs. I want to thank all our guests today. Pat McDaniel with Second Mile Marketing and Consulting. Tony and Kathy LaRocca with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration. And Courtney Legg and Sarah Beal with Ivy Springs Manor. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station. And that you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian,
I want to now be known not as trusty co-host, but I think host of, not excitement, maybe silliness. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that off the air, Mike.
Host of bad first impressions.
There you go. I like that. Wait.
For my host of bad impressions, I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.